So now we continue to talk.
Whoop, whoop.
Not live, but we're live.
We are live. What?
Grace, you're in Boston?
I'm in Boston.
Did you eat a cream pie?
I had a cream pie yesterday.
I'm going to get you on this one. Did you eat a roast beef sandwich?
No.
Yeah. Did you know they're from Boston?
No.
Yeah. The more you know. Rainbow.
I know Jill had some chowder.
Some chowder.
Right. She had chowder.
It's his Boston Marathon Monday. Huge.
It's huge. I am in Boston right now. I got to spectate at the Boston Marathon, which is a huge deal. And I'm at the Westin. I'm about half a block from the finish line. It's been a fun weekend, and I can't wait to tell you all about it.
Oh, my gosh. Let me start this show so that you can tell me all about it, because I'm super excited to hear your voice.
Whoop, whoop.
Ready? Here we go. Yep. Grace, we had quite a few friends on this Marathon Monday chasing fast times. Let's talk about it all on episode 59.
I'm Eric Idiot Renner Kosek.
And I'm Grace Hot Pants Langheim. Eric is all business in the front of the pack, and I am all about the party in the back.
That's right, business up front and party in the back. Together, we are the Running Mullet.
And we are going to talk about every aspect of running, the podium to the DNF and everything in between.
If you are a runner, this show is for you. Now sit back, get out your foam roller, and enjoy the party.
You're really getting jiggy with it there, Grace.
I was. It's all backstage.
Yeah.
And I still get jiggy with it during that intro because I love that intro.
Me too. It's a great intro. No one can see what you do except myself. And I take that to my heart. I treasure that. And I might tell people about it sometimes, but it's special to me.
It's very special. Yes.
Boston Marathon, man. So let's see. The word of the day was it was hot. Right?
It was hot. It was high 60s. A little bit of a tailwind, which was great for those runners. For spectating, I mean, you couldn't ask for better weather. I had fanny pack. Let's talk about, I mean, the runners are important, but let's talk about spectating and how important that is and how much fun it was. So I had my fanny. I had my shades. In my fanny pack, I had stickers to give out to people for doing a good job.
Wait, like Running Mullet stickers or just your own stickers?
No, I mean, Running Mullet stickers, I mean, those are special. So yeah. Those are reserved for next weekend.
Okay.
Okay, so I had stickers. I had Fruit Loops.
Like you give out singular Fruit Loop to people that are running good?
Those were for me. No, those were a snacky snack. Okay. Snacky snack for me. Mm-hmm. So I was well prepared to do some crewing. It was, crewing for marathon is completely different than crewing for trail, but I think we did okay.
So did you make it to all three stops that you wanted to?
No,
it's hard.
We made it to, it was like mile 8. Mile 16, yep. And then the finish was just too ridiculous. We couldn't make it.
You couldn't even get into the finish. Yeah. No, that's not bad. Other than your failure at the finish line, that would have been a solid performance.
I felt like a failure, and that's exactly what I told. So we went to spectate for my very good friend, Jill Wentz. She inspires me every day, but I also get to coach her. And so she qualified for the first time and ran Boston Marathon for the first time. And she brought along myself and my friend Trish. And we did not make it to the finish line to see her finish. And the first thing that I told Trish was, I feel like a failure. I didn't tell Jill this, though, because she's amazing. But yeah, I didn't get to see her. And there were so many people on the course who I wanted to see. I don't know who you were following. I'm going to ask you in a minute, but I was following Jill Dennis, who managed,
244.42.
crushed it. 244.42. She was 33rd woman.
I don't write all that down.
She was right in the early 30s for top female overall. Jill did amazing. I was following Eric Faree. He had a great day. Also came in like 245, I think it was. Sarah Wanger also had a great day. Becky Donner, I was following her. I was following Judy Roach. I was following Kip.
Save some for me. Don't steal my people.
Hold on. And I was following Shannon.
Yeah, there you're going in. So
Kip Shannon, her 11th year. These are my people. They're coming into the hotel room now.
Yeah, they're interrupting our show.
And it was fun to follow all of them, but I got to see Jill, but I didn't get to see as many of the other people as I wanted to see, so that was a bummer.
I mean, if you have never been there, it's hard to explain what it's like anyway. It's like shoulder to shoulder for 26.2 miles, even tighter than that at the finish line. That's why you failed, and parking is not exactly easy, so don't feel too bad about your failure. I saw what had to be done to get there. And if you're not, your best bet, basically, if you want to be at the finish line, is to set up camp at the finish line and don't move from the beginning of the race.
Right.
Is the problem. But yeah, you did good, Grace.
Thank you. I appreciate the encouragement. I also appreciate you telling me my failures and how I can do better next time. Mm-hmm. And I think you're spot on with everything that I did wrong and everything that I should do right next time. And this is,
something you can work on for the next year to think about,
I have a lot to work on when it comes to road running and road spectating.
Yeah. But the best part about it is look at the shirt you got for crewing Jill. I mean, not many people get a shirt like that. That's amazing.
Jill has done such a good job of taking care of us.
Family show. Stop rubbing your chest like that.
There's not much there to rub, so it's fine. So it's Jill's 26.2 crew. Jill got us some good swag. That's the
toilet. That's awesome.
The toilet in the background.
Oh, great. That's great. I mean, that's cool that she made those shirts. That's a memory.
Yeah. Jill, you gotta say hi and bring your medal. Oh my gosh.
Oh, she's got to wear her medal. Many drinks.
she had a couple of Cosmos, I think.
So I would like to point out Jill ran a 4:10:51.
Yes.
So this congrats.
And I took all the pictures and with dog and I petted dogs.
Okay. Nice. Dogs are good to pet.
That's right.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's Jill. She's the best. And her goal was to find all the good boys and pet them.
And apparently enjoy the drinks afterwards. That was the goal. That's awesome. Can I have a chance to list my list of people that's important to me?
I want to hear everybody who's important to you.
Well, you already stole Kip and Shannon from me.
Yeah. And I missed Shannon, and I've been messaging her all weekend. And Shannon, you're amazing, and you did an awesome job.
Shannon ran a 3:36:19, and she, from what I can see from her post, she's super happy about it. And I think that's it. Kind of settles her beef with Boston. So I think she's going to take a year or a couple years off from Boston. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, and I think Shannon is a great example of somebody who really knows her abilities and knows herself. I don't know what her original goal was for Boston, but she messaged me yesterday and she said, you know, it's a lot hotter than I anticipated. I'm going to adjust my goal. I'm going for a 3:35. And she finished in 3:36. And I think for a lot of people who came out here today, it was hotter than they expected and they didn't hit their goal. And she just knows herself and she's a pro. And that's what happens when you're a pro.
Yeah, I mean, I think most of the people I've written down here did not hit their goal today. And it's, you know, if one or two didn't do it, it's like, oh, that, you know, they went out too fast or something happened or things just didn't go right. But obviously the heat did affect everyone. other than Jill, but that's probably because Jill's from the South anyway. I assume she probably had some better heat acclimation than most of us in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
So, a time of 2:44, I don't, if anybody, all our trail runner people watching this don't realize how fast of a marathon that is, they should figure it out, because that's not, 2:50 to 3 hours is cool and that's fast, but 2:44 is getting into your big girl underwear, you know?
Yeah, big girl underwear. And I mean, Jill is a beast.
Yeah.
And if you, I love following her on Instagram. I love following her on Facebook. She puts some great videos out there for some really great strength training sessions. She is also a coach. And she is a big advocate for heavy strength training. And if you look at her, I mean, she's muscly compared to the other women who are in the same space of the field as her. And she's doing multi-day long distance events, and she's finishing strong at Boston Marathon. So just a tremendous athlete.
Yeah, and having said that, like, I will point out, she just ran a 2:44:42 in Boston, and then this coming Saturday, she's running Heiner, and her time will not be a walk in the park. I can assure you that. So
she's going to be at the front.
Yeah, recovery is fast, and she's got a lot going on for her. Congrats, Jill. Kip Hoffman, 3:11:44. He was shooting for a sub-3, I think was his A goal. So was my buddy Lon Williams, which he also finished with Kip at 3:11:57. So I kind of think they might have crossed the finish line together pretty much. But both of them had sub-3 goals today, trained very hard, put in the time, and the heat just wore on them, I assume. Just like everybody else. Michael Brown, 3:12:22, and a friend I know, Joe Quattrini, 3:22:47. So yeah, I mean, all in all, it sounds like it was probably just the heat was too much today, and everybody had probably had to adjust their goals. But hey, it's still Boston.
Yeah, it was hot, and I mean, the energy was just electric, because this is kind of coming out of a lot of struggles that the Boston Marathon has had. They had the, of course, the bombing that happened 11 years ago, and then COVID happened 4 years ago. And so it feels like this was the first year that was super strong coming out of that. There were over 30,000 people who entered, who qualified for the Boston Marathon, and 11,000 people who qualified didn't get in. I mean, that is a huge field of people who got their BQ, but they didn't make it in because it was a record number of people who entered. So huge, huge field this year, and everybody who comes along with it. So it was electric. And I think there, I could be wrong about this, but it seemed like there were more first timers who maybe were taking their time and taking some photos along the way and just enjoying the course. And I think that's pretty awesome. A lot of people who picked up running during COVID, which remember was 4 years ago. And then this is the point at which they were able to BQ, and then they also got in. It kind of, it took that long to get them there. And
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what, I don't follow the numbers too much, but last year seemed pretty big, just pretty big also. I don't know. Maybe it's getting back bigger and bigger back to where it was before COVID. I'm not sure, but there wasn't much room for spectators to fit in anywhere else last year.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think the difference was this year, the people who entered but didn't get in, you know? Well,
yeah. I mean, there's always a time gap. You have to be under your bus and qualifying time. Yeah. That's always the case. Yeah. And the weather was a lot nicer this year. Last year was chilly and rainy. So that would keep some, not runners away, but some of the spectators.
Some of the spectators would probably stay in, especially if they have young kids with them. We saw like people with babies, you know, so if it's nice out, that's a little easier for sure. I was impressed by the number. Here was something that stood out. We saw a number of expecting mamas out running the course. So that was pretty cool to see.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was neat. Cool.
Maybe they were COVID babies.
No. They could have been COVID babies. I don't know.
No, I don't think that adds up if I do.
Yeah. It's been a little bit since then. But that was just something that I didn't expect to see. It was something that we saw. It was kind of neat. It was, you know, there were some women who obviously qualified, and then they were like, oh, ready for the baby. And they were running with some big bellies, and that was kind of neat.
Cool. Well, it sounds like it was a good day all in all. At least nothing crazy happened, and everybody, I'm sure there's a lot of smiles at the finish line.
Yeah. Yeah. Jill had an amazing race. Jill, did you have an amazing race?
I did have an amazing race.
Yeah, tell us about it.
I took your advice and I enjoyed every minute of it, and I slapped every hand I could along the side. It was amazing. It's a well-oiled machine. It's really cool. It was a really great day. Yeah.
Yeah. It was awesome.
Yeah.
So good. Glad you had fun.
She's great. It's fun to see somebody who is just enjoying every minute. I think there were some people who were disappointed with their times, but that was not Jill. She had a blast the entire time. So that was cool.
So what's your guys' plan? You leaving tomorrow or what?
Yep, yeah. We're flying out tomorrow. And then, I mean, you know what's happening Friday. Friday, everybody is headed to Heiner, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, they're all coming up just to see you and I, I think.
I think that is the case, yes.
I believe so. Well, mostly me. I mean, let's face it, but you'll be there too.
I'll have a couple of fans. It'll mostly be fans of yours. We are going to be at the finish line in, are we technically in Renovo or are we in Heiner? I don't know.
Yes.
Okay, one of the two towns. Yes. But we are going to be at the Heiner 50K and 25K.
Heiner Trail Challenge.
The Heiner Trail Challenge, which is, I mean, arguably the biggest trail party in all of Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
For the whole year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's definitely arguably for Pennsylvania. It is the biggest trail party. I mean, that's why we're gone. Neither of us are even running it. There's people that go there just for the party part of it. So.
Yeah. I mean, a couple years ago, I went to Heiner and I was running with Lacey. I was running with my friend Lacey, and we were doing the 25K. And I remember seeing our good friend Eddie Pantoa there, and I was like, Eddie, are you crewing? Are you volunteering? He's like, no, I'm just coming to hang out. I said that's the ticket, buddy.
Yeah.
And that's my goal every year is just to hang out.
Right. And that's pretty much what we're going to be doing. And we're lucky enough to be hanging out at the finish, start and finish line.
Yep. Yep.
With a cute little table set up and
adorable.
Your beautiful face will be there.
My face.
Yep. And we'll have our live show. Don't do that when we're there. That's weird. We'll have our live show going. Idea is to basically have a live feed of the finish line running the whole time, and possibly if it works out, Daryl Lehman on the course giving us updates on where people are at. Now I don't really, that's, it's okay if that doesn't work out. Maybe we'll get to know who's where a little bit at the front of the pack before they get to the finish.
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is, if you are not following us on YouTube, on the YouTubes yet, now is the time to do it, because we might pop up Friday night, because it's going to be fun to walk around the campsite and talk to people. And then Saturday, we're going to be going live from the finish line, and who knows who's going to show up at that finish line. I know last year we had a lot of fun. We did get rained out a little bit. Looks like that's probably not going to happen this year. We're going to be live like the whole time. And you'll definitely want to tune in and see what's happening at the finish line of Heiner. Can you, like, let's talk about Heiner. And then I want to do advice for anybody who is running Heiner. And then I don't know what's going to happen after that. But it feels good to have three things put together. So tell us about Heiner first.
Well, I think you already did. It's the biggest trail party of the year. Before we get into what it is, Heiner is the biggest trail party of the year. If you can't be there, this is your next best thing to do, is to sign on to us, because we'll be providing comic relief and live updates. What are you doing with your, what's going on?
You know, my feet were a little, a little tired. So
yeah, you had a rough day of standing there cheering people on. So I understand. It's rough. So Heiner, what is Heiner? It's a hard trail race, Grace.
It is. Yeah. It's a 50K and a 25K. And I think one of the things that makes Heiner unique is the field size. So a lot of trail races, and this is in general, a lot of trail races do not have a big field size. And part of that's because of the permits from.
Yeah, and this field is what, a couple acres?
Yes, different kind of field.
Oh, you're talking about the field of running. Oh, yes. Me.
Field of runners. The field of runners is a little bigger than normal for a trail race. And so typically a trail race will have a field size of maybe 150, 300 runners, maybe up to 400 runners. And this one, we're looking at 1,300 runners between the 25K and the 50K. And that is such a much bigger field, not as big as Boston with 30,000 runners, but much bigger than most trail races, which means the bigger the field size, the bigger the pre-party and the after party. So that's really one of the most unique things about Heiner, is that it's just a huge party before and afterwards, because there's it's a bigger crew. It's a bigger, larger amount of runners.
Yeah. And when we say party, we just mean it's a good chance for you to see everyone that's who's who in the trail running community, and like nothing but good vibes.
Yeah.
And you get to catch up with all your people, catch up with people you haven't seen. You only see at Heiner, perhaps. It's not like some rave, perhaps, like the nice.
Yeah.
For trail runners, but.
Yeah, I think it's just good vibes the whole time. If you go there and you don't know anybody, you're going to walk away with some friends. If you walk around just a little bit and say hi to a couple of people, you'll walk away with some friends. And it's one of those races that you come back every year and you see people who you haven't seen in a year. Maybe you know them on Facebook and you haven't met them in person. That's the place where you're going to meet them in person. We get a lot of runners who come from all over the country, from other countries. So it's a big trail race within on the East Coast. It's a big one for the East Coast. So and it's just positive vibes, and it's been going on for a long time. So it's well run. It runs like a smooth machine. Mm-hmm. And so it's a good one to run, whether you're a Pennsylvanian or you're outside of Pennsylvania. Everybody's there.
Yeah, so let's move on to how somebody is supposed to run this 25K / 50K, whether you are business up front, hammering down like a son of a gun, or you are trying, or you're with a group of friends partying in the back, just having the time of your life. The biggest thing, I guess, and you're going to say the same thing for your party in the back as the business up front. But if you're looking to have some business up front, you better get across that bridge, which is the first mile, as fast as you can.
No, I'm going to say the opposite, but you keep going, buddy.
Because the bottleneck that is ahead of you on the other side of the bridge can basically break your race, make or break your race, depending on where you end up if you're trying to be in the front of the pack. And so you want
now, can I pause here? I just want to ask you a question. Because so basically for all of you, listen, we're going to break out advice for the front of the pack and advice for the back of the pack. Eric's going to go through advice for the front of the pack. And so when you talk about the front of the course, Eric, you and I know it's about a mile on the road before you hit the bottleneck at the trail. Mm-hmm. And so I want to ask, do you have different advice for the front of the 25K pack versus the front of the 50K pack? Because the 50K has only about 300 runners. The 25K has got about 1,000.
Well, no, because the front of the pack still has the same goal in mind. And that's okay. To make sure you don't get bottlenecked by people that get accidentally behind people that are slower paced than you want to be going. And this is common sense stuff. But Heiner is set up in a way that once you're behind them single on the single track, it's really hard to get around them until you get to the top of top of the first climb up to Heiner View.
Humble Hill.
Thank you. Yep. Once you're up there, it flattens out and there's downhill and you can ask to get around and this and that. But yeah, I mean, that the biggest thing is the bridge before you start climbing up the mountain. From there, if you're in front of the packer, I mean, just tell people your intentions, I guess. I don't have too much to say for advice for running the race. I've only run the Heiner 50K course, the new one, once. I ran the old course once myself. But I would say for 25Kers, and yes, for 25Kers who aren't business up front, who are there partying, do your best at please giving room to those 50Kers that are racing for the win or their best personal time, because there's so many people out there and because they meet back up at a certain spot later in the race. 50K runners that are business up front have to pass a ton of 25Kers middle of the pack, which is fine. They're still trying to run their own race.
Right.
But do what you can on that single track to let those people fly by. It's always a problem with Heiner. It's not a problem with Heiner. It's kind of what makes Heiner Heiner.
Yeah.
All the 50Kers know they have that to deal with. So, but you know, don't be that person that has earmuffs on and can't hear a thing and coming up on you and can't get around you. You know, take the earmuffs off for this day is what I ask. Make a friend, talk their ear off if you're that kind of runner, and enjoy the day and make sure you're aware of who's behind you.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Now, what advice do you have for front of the pack, either 25K, 50K, it might be the same answer for both, for fueling? Do you need a pack? Are you good with a handheld? You know, where do you fall at the front of the pack?
Front of the pack, no pack whatsoever. Absolutely not. Handheld, belt, if you need it, you know, you're going to want a bottle. But there's enough aid stations to top off that bottle if you're front of the pack and going for the win. That, I don't know where you draw the line for that. That's an interesting thing to think about. But yeah, I mean, you're gonna want one the longer you're out there in between aid stations.
Okay.
Would you agree with that?
I'll get into back of the pack in a minute. We're still focusing on front of the pack. I think for front of the pack, I would probably give the same advice. The one tricky part, I think, is the first aid station where it tends to get a little congested. So if you're in the 25K and you're close to the front of the pack, but you're not at the very front of the pack, it gets tricky whether you want to have a very small racing vest with a couple of larger bottles in it so that you can bypass the first aid station.
This is really good stuff. That's a really good point you brought up, because I specifically remember, and it's going to happen Saturday, the last couple aid stations. So as a 50K runner, you're coming into the aid station at the top of SOB, I know for sure, is loaded with 25K runners.
Yeah.
They're enjoying their day. They're taking their time. They're hanging out. They're getting refueled. But there's no way you can get in and out of that one fast if you're a 50K runner, because it's just overwhelmed by the 25Kers at that point. So that's a very good point to make, is you should at least be prepared to go two aid stations deep if you're not wearing a vest, which might mean two bottles. I don't know what that means. That's a good question. I don't think the race is a 50K front of the pack runner deserve. You don't need a vest. I personally don't think so.
Yeah.
But that's a good point. Because there's so many runners, you might have to fight through that aid station to get what you need, or just skip it because it's just too overwhelmed.
Right. Right. I think that's the gamble. If you're at the front of the pack for the 50K, or close to the front of the pack of the 25K, is a decision you have to make on whether you know, whether you want to skip those aid stations or you want to fight to the front of those aid stations to make sure. And I don't think it's much of a fight, but it's just being assertive about, I need to get refilled and get on my way. But that's the gamble that you have between the two of those. So I appreciate your position on those two. Here's what I think one of the deciding factors is what's the weather that day. And sure. If it's riding hot, then I would go for a very small pack. And I'm talking about a race vest that does not have a bladder, but just has the two front flasks versus doing a handheld on a little bit of a colder day. So I think weather is probably the deciding factor for me.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, if it's hot and humid, you're going to have to increase your intake and all that stuff. What are we looking at for Saturday's temperatures? Did you look?
Yeah, I looked, and it looks like partly cloudy and 60s, low 60s. So perfect racing weather.
Good.
Any other advice for the front of the pack for pacing, for what to expect? You know, I have one runner, one of the athletes I coach who I'm trying to convince as a, she's not quite a front of the pack runner, but she's closer up there. And I'm trying to convince her to not be worried that it's if you're a front of the pack runner, I think there's plenty of sections that are runnable. You can run up the top of SOB. I think you can run at the back part of SOB toward the finish. So can you talk a little bit about the terrain in relation to a front of the pack runner who's used to technical terrain?
So Heiner is very runnable compared to the old Heiner course is what my opinion would be. And I think most people towards the front of the pack would agree with that. The old course was a little harder. I think the times show that. Mm-hmm. It was just more technical, more up and down. I don't know what the elevation shows. I'm not comparing the two, but I just know once you get up out on the log and some of these little more wide open type trails, there's a lot of runnable stuff out towards the V, which everybody doesn't like the V. It's a really steep down, really steep back up, but it's not too long, not too much far of a distance. But anyway, a lot of that stuff flattens out on both sides, and yeah, it's runnable. So I would say, and one of the questions that just came in is Heiner easier, 150K easier or harder than, did you just put that up?
Yep.
Easier or harder than Worlds and 50K. This course, I personally would say it's definitely easier.
Yeah, I agree.
And I'm not looking at the numbers. I don't know what the gain is of Worlds End 50K compared to Heiner. Mm-hmm. But the technicality of the trail is easier now. And I would say that it's definitely more runnable than it used to be. But there's enough climbing that it adds up and it still destroys you.
Yeah, and I can say as a backup pack runner, I ran the old Heiner 50K course. And I've run the World's End 50K course. And I would say even the old Heiner 50K course is easier, in my opinion, than the World's End 50K. And I've heard that the newer Heiner course is a smidge easier. That doesn't mean that it's not a huge accomplishment if you finish it. I think it still is. But just in comparison to the two, I would agree, even from a back of the pack perspective, that Heiner is a smidge easier than World's End 50K.
Yeah, not only that, but now Heiner has a section that's basically out and back. So you get to at least feel and see what you're going to get on the way back, which I think is something.
Yep.
You know, it's at least you know what's going to, the V, for example. If you have never been to the V, you're going to do it your first time down and back up, and you know you're going to have to do it again. So it already puts it in your head, well, this is what I got to do.
Yep, absolutely. Okay. Any other advice for the front of the pack?
Run hard and don't stop. I don't know.
I like it.
What about you? Let's talk about the party in the back. So there are a lot of people that come to Heiner who come for the party in the back, and it's not to take anything away from the day that they're putting out putting up. I mean, they're still out there. They're still getting the elevation gain. They're still moving hard, and they're having a blast back there. Now, what advice would you give for them to have the biggest party that they can have?
Yeah. Yeah. Spot on. I mean, this is just a huge race. It is going to be so much fun. It is a difficult race. But I think in the back of the pack, you got to have some expectations going into it in order to get the most out of this race. And so the first piece of advice that I'm going to give at the back of the pack, if you're in the 25K and it's slightly different, but depending on the 25 or the 50, I've done both. So if you're in the back of the pack of the 25K, I'm going to say, you know what? Don't go balls out in the first mile, because you know what? You're going to wait no matter what. And you may as well not push yourself into a really harsh zone when you don't need to.
I need a hard definition of what balls out is.
Thank you. Balls out. There is a specific definition for balls out. Mm-hmm. And if you're a back-of-pack runner, and here's an example for me, balls out, both of them, both balls.
Thanks for clarifying.
Thank you. So balls out, two or three of them, maybe.
Whoa.
Like, I'm not going to run an 8-minute mile to the trailhead. That's crazy. I'm going to push my anaerobic zone to a point that is ridiculous. If I run an 11-minute mile, nice and a 12-minute, even a 16-minute mile, nice and easy peasy, I'm really not losing anything. And I'm not going to put myself that far ahead of anybody in front of me. So I can run a nice 13, 14-minute trot.
Just to clarify, you're talking about going across the bridge right now, just like chill out, just breathe. And at this point, you have your balls out.
I have my balls out.
Well, you don't have your balls.
Two or three of them.
The front of the pack has their balls out. You don't have your balls out.
Correct. Front of the pack, they all have their balls out. Every single one of them.
Yeah.
I have no balls out. Zero balls.
I'm thankful for that. Yeah.
And I'm saying, you know, kind of trot along at a nice little, if your 5K pace is a 10-minute mile, you might trot along at a 14-minute mile. If your 5K pace is a 12-minute mile, maybe you trot along at a 16-minute mile. Maybe you say, you know what, I'm going to hike it out and I'm going to do a 22-minute mile in that first section. I mean, this is the time to just trot along a nice, easy peasy warm up, so that you can get to the trailhead, at which point you will come to a dead stop. When you get to that dead stop, this is the time where you get to make friends. So you look to the right, you look to the left. Which one of them looks like more fun? And that is the person you are going to make friends with. And so you might talk to this person about what are some other races on your calendar? Is this your first time running Heiner? Oh, it's your third time. That's super fun. Do you have any fun advice for me? Right? So mile one is your easy trot warm up. Mile two, three, and four, and up to Heiner View. The first half of up to Heiner View, you make friends. And then as you're headed up to Heiner View, And I think somebody, Jeff Holbrook, said that running Heiner, I'll be at the back of the pack, dreading the V, hope it's not too muddy. I'm so far back, I'm behind the party. LOL. I'm telling you, the party goes all the way to the back. It goes all the way to the back. So you make friends. And then here's where it gets tricky. You're going to come up to the first climb, which is called Humble Hill. You come up to Humble Hill and you get to what you think is the top of the hill. It's not the top. It is not. That is why it is called Humble Hill. So you get to what you think is the top, and then you might get to trot along a little bit. You've been hiking this whole time, by the way. Part of the time you were at a dead stop making friends because it's so congested, but it's fine. Just settle into it. Don't get frustrated with it. You're not going to be able to go around them. to the left side of you is a hill, and to the right side of you is a drop off. You're not going to make it around them. It just settle into the conga line. It's awesome.
This is so beautiful. Like, I almost want this as like my bedtime story. You could put me to sleep.
I hope to. I hope you're asleep by the end of this. That's my goal. Every time we have a podcast, and I haven't done it yet. Wow. Let's see if I can do it this time.
Okay.
So you're in the conga line. You've made some friends. You're going up to Humble Hill. You get to the what you think is the top of Humble Hill. It is not. You make a couple other friends, and then you're going to come on to a very special place, which is Carl's Bell. Right. So Carl Underkoffler, he was a phenomenal trail runner. He gave back so much to the community, and he helped build a lot of the trails out around Heiner. And he passed away on the course and he fell very close to where the bell is. And so when you get to the bell, you take a moment and you look down and you say thank you to your feet and to your legs and to your heart. For continuing
and your balls
and two or three of your balls, however many you have. You might not have any, that's okay. And you give thanks to them as well for allowing you to do this beautiful sport, because not everybody is able to do that. And you ring the bell for Carl. And then you get to the top of Heiner View. And then you're at the first aid station. And hopefully if you're in the back of the pack, I mean, I think you can get away with a handheld, and that's fine, but you're going to have to wait at the aid stations. They get kind of congested. You know, having a pack, it allows you to bypass the first aid station, which is nice. You can bypass that first aid station, and then you get to fly downhill. And you're going to pass around all the people who have worn headphones, and you are like, why are you wearing headphones? Because you can't hear me say on your left. And I will say this as well. When you're in the 25K, it might be your first trail race, and that's okay. You have to say on your left, or the people in front of you are probably not going to move over. So say on your left. Say it with me. Ready? On your left.
Right.
Thank you. And then if somebody says on your left, they are being polite. They are following the trail rules. And you move over to the left or to the right. If they say on your left or they say on your right, then you move over to that way. Because if you are in the back of the pack, we got through the first aid station, right? Now you're going up Huff Run. Your feet are going to get wet. Your feet are going to get wet. That's what's going to happen. Don't try to climb the sides. They're just going to get wet. So you're going to have wet feet. And you know what? That's okay. You don't have to change your shoes. You don't have to change your socks. You're going to be all right. Wear wool socks, and they're going to be wet, and you're going to get to the second aid station.
Wow.
You're going to have a lot of fun at that second aid station.
Settle in here.
Yeah.
Blanket. Hello.
Settle in. And then you're going to get to what everybody talks about, and going up Huff Run is technical. But that's not the whole course. You're going to have plenty of stuff you can run later on. It's fine.
Yeah.
So then you're going to get up to the V, and you're going to get through that. And you're going to get up to what everybody calls SOB. And you might have to use your hands a little bit to climb up. You're going to grab onto some trees. You're going to be all right. You get up to the top of SOB, and they're going to be the friendliest aid station people. And they were going to take care of you. They're going to love you and care for you. And then you're going to leave that aid station, and you can run a little bit now. You can run a little bit. And then you're going to get to the other side, and you get the downhill to the finish, and you go that downhill, and you can trot along. You can go fast. You can hike it. Anything you want to do on that downhill, because this is the victory. This is what you worked hard for. You're going to have fun with it. You do want to move over to the side, though, pretty much the whole time. People are going to pass you, and that's okay. You got people behind you. You got people in front of you, and you're all going toward the same thing, which is that finish line and the finish line party.
Gosh.
That's my advice for the back of the pack.
That was poetry. That was, I dare say, if I could close my eyes, you almost hypnotized me. I can do it. This is how it's going to be. This is how it's going to go. That was magic.
Yeah, you're going to have fun. You know, you're going to have a great time there. You gotta not get frustrated by the crowds, because that's not where we're used to in trail running. Just imagine you're at the Boston Marathon or something like that. There's a lot of people there. And all those people, they got their own goals. Some of them, some of them it's their first time and they just don't know any better, and that's okay. And they might have their headphones.
Yeah.
And that's all right. Yep. You just got to forgive them. They'll learn. And some of them have been out there and it's their seventh time and they're walking with poles and they're going to hike the whole thing. And that's okay too.
Yeah.
Everybody's got their own little thing going. So in the back of the pack, you just got to settle in and just love it. Just have fun.
Settle in and love it. That's deep. I like it. Now that was a good description of what Party in the Backers should be doing. And the best part is, like, they have our faces to look forward to when they cross the finish line. Like, we'll be there.
You know, I didn't want to get to that part because I feel like that's just the cherry on top, which is me and you at the finish line.
Yeah. And we will be willing to talk to pretty much anybody. We're desperate podcast whores, if you will.
We are podcast whores.
Yeah. Yeah, we're willing to, you know, come on over and tell us how your day was, type of thing.
Come on over, baby. What you sing that song?
I don't need that. I don't think they'll want to come over if you do that, but maybe.
If I sing, it's not good. I'll dance for you, though.
No, but I mean, we're going to be there to at the finish line to hear everybody's story for the day. And that's the thing. I think that's why we're there, is we want to hear how many friends you made and how crazy fun it was. And
yeah,
if you were competitive, you know, how was it a fast day, and was it or was it not because the heat or whatever, or what went wrong, and did you not listen to Grace and not wear a vest and not have enough hydration, type of thing.
Yeah,
all that stuff. That's what we're going to be there to hopefully hear. So don't be afraid to come over to us if you're listening to this show. Yes. And you're running Heiner.
Yay.
And we want to talk to you.
Yeah, we had a great time last year. And I'm hoping to have an even better time this year with better weather. Now, let me back up, because I do have slightly different advice if you were at the back of the pack of the 50K. If you're at the back of the 50K, run when you can. You don't have time to dick around. Get done. Okay?
So all right.
I'm just throwing that in there.
Okay. Can I get a clarification on what dick a round means?
Well, see, you do have time for some photos. You can do a couple selfies.
Yeah.
But when you hit the flats and the downhills, you got to run. Okay.
Fair enough.
So just if you're in the back of the pack of the 50K, you need to run the flats and the downs, take a couple photos. But don't dick around with your balls out. That's all I'm saying.
Well, we're referring to cutoffs, I assume.
Yeah. It's a tighter cutoff for the 50K.
Right.
So the Heiner 50K, I don't remember what the cutoff is. I know that I hit it. That's all that I remember. I think is it 10 hours?
I don't know. Just do what she says and keep moving, and keep moving fast so you won't get cut off.
Keep moving if you're in the 50K. Definitely don't take too much time with the 50K. In your aid stations, you want to grab and go. Don't get stuck at those aid stations. Jeff Holbrook said the cutoff is 3:15. I'm not sure how many hours it is, but I believe you, Jeff. 3:15 being the cutoff. So keep rolling along if you're in that 50K, and just stay focused.
Yeah. And Anthony Arthur has a good point. We will have free beer at our setup for the Running Mullet, because Anthony Arthur said he's bringing it for us, apparently.
Oh, so nice.
Anybody who wants free beer, that's for Anthony Arthur. I'm kidding.
Yeah, there's a New Trail. I believe New Trail Brewing Company provides fresh beverages for the runners at the race.
Yeah, and it is worth noting, anybody listening that's coming literally for the party and not running the race, if you come and you want to hang out, which I think is everybody hopes you do, please bring cash to purchase any food that you may want to eat at the race, which I think is a completely reasonable request from the race itself. But don't think that you can just come and enjoy the food that's there.
Yeah. Yeah, there's not very good cell reception there, but there's some really cool vendors. There's some great food vendors. There's the restaurant that's right there. There is the Run Wild running company is going to be there. There may be some items. I'm talking about stickers, magnets, and temporary tattoos that might be available for the running mullet. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah. Yep. It's going to be a good day. I look forward to it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Friday night, Friday afternoon into the evening, Lauren has a track meet in Lock Haven.
Mm-hmm.
So we will be at that in Lock Haven till a undisclosed time. But we will be up to Heiner sometime late evening, I think. I don't know. Six, seven, eight, if I were to guess, that's where we'll be.
Yeah.
Staying there Friday night, be there for Saturday for a good part of the day.
Nice. And I got to work on Friday. I'm going to be heading up afterwards, about a 3-hour drive for me. So I'll be there sometime Friday. I'm just saying, expect for us to go live at any time. You're going to want to follow us on the Facebooks and the Instagrams and the YouTubes, because that's where you'll find out about it.
Yeah. Like, come on, seriously, listen to her. I want to see numbers increase, like subscribers go up this week, like, oh, panic. And we better follow these guys because Grace is amazing.
Otherwise my balls are going to come out.
Yeah. And you're going to dick around.
I'm going to dick around at Heiner for sure.
I look forward to it. I've been looking forward to it all year. This is big. And, oh, Jeff just finally subscribed to the Facebook or the channel. Look at that. So it's going to be a good day. So tune in. Again, we'll be live most of the day, I believe, whether there's some quiet time where we're not saying much and you're just seeing watching footage, or right when the 50K and 25Kers or top finishers are coming in. Hopefully we can do a bunch of interviews and talk about a lot of good stuff is the idea. Right, Grace?
Yeah. I mean, there may be costume changes. Who knows what craziness is going to be happening this weekend. So, I mean, I would ask you what you're doing this weekend, but Eric, I mean, it's Heiner.
Heiner's a big deal. I'm hanging out with you. It's like the perfect weekend.
Oh man, I'm so excited. We get to see each other.
All right. Enough of that cheesy stuff. Let's wrap this one up, so that we can prepare for the Heiner Live weekend 2024. This might be like, I mean, I know like big movies come out and everybody goes crazy. This might be like the big crazy thing of the year.
It is. It's the big event of the year. Everybody should be there.
So come see us. Thank you for joining in, and we will see you at Heiner, and then we will have our regularly scheduled programming next Monday at 7:30 p.m.
Next Monday, Heiner recap. See you at Heiner. See you at the Heiner recap. It's going to be a great weekend.
Do the bye.
Bye.